Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettiner, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society, to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons.
Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Sarah Uticone, who's the president of the board of directors of the Montauk Playhouse, which is a misnamed building in Montauk, which has a historical context, but it's the community house there for the use of the public. It may well be the largest such facility on all of Long Island, as far as I know. At one point, I don't know if you know this, but they wanted to tear that place down, but they found that the walls were so thick they couldn't do it.
I did know that. I think the foundation, which I'm the president of the board of directors for, as you said, Montauk Playhouse Community Center Foundation, that was actually started to save the building. I think they got their nonprofit status in 1999, and that was the same time that those residents got together and decided that it was a historic building worth saving. So,
yeah, well, before that, before they considered that, that's when they got an estimate on how much it would cost, and it was like you'd have to blow up half of Montauk to get there. It's a big, do you know the history of the building, who built it and why and what all that was? Tell us a little about that.
So Carl Fisher built it as part of his plan to develop Montauk in the 1920s, right? Early 1920s?
Late 20s. 26 to 29.
Yeah, it was originally built as a tennis auditorium. So still today existing, there's part of the glass ceiling that was part of the original structure for the tennis auditorium. But throughout the years, eventually it was abandoned as that use. When Carl Fisher was no longer in Montauk, it was used by the military to house soldiers. It was used for a lot of different things. It was really only a playhouse very briefly, I think maybe in the 1950s. And somehow that name is the name that has taken hold, and now it's a historic building. It's on the National Register of Historic Places as the Montauk Playhouse.
Yeah, it was also during the time it was used by the military, they had boxing matches there. And also, when they were rustling cattle out in Montauk, they would bring the cattle there that were to be put on boxcars to send off at the railroad station across the street. They would have them roaming around inside on the dirt floor of the
It's crazy to think of all the uses. I know they used it for horses too.
Probably the cavalry might have marched around in there during the Second World War. And it's been a long time planning when they originally, first of all, going back to when it was a tennis court, it was a glass enclosed tennis court, a place for the hotel that sat on the hill above it, which Fisher had built. He went bankrupt in the crash. And so how many square feet is it? Do you know? It must be.
So I think it's around 50,000, because the side that is under construction right now is roughly 25,000. And that was the half of the building that wasn't completed in 2006. And then the other half is roughly the same size.
But now it has several floors, right?
So in 2006, when it opened as the community center after the first renovation, it had two floors on that side. And then on the side where we're building the aquatic center and the second floor multi-use cultural center, that remained the dirt floor that I think everyone has seen the pictures of. And that just had one level dirt floor. The brick from the building, you know, that was it. So we kind of, as part of this project, we built the whole infrastructure. So now there are two floors on both sides.
So the what is the swimming pool was the most expensive part of this entire project. It's on the second floor or the first floor? It has to be on the first floor.
It's on the first floor. So all in, it's about a $16 million project with everything in, which is very, I mean, there's a reason for that. We had to stabilize. The building was existing, but you have to build in a foundation that will support the weight of a pool and a second floor. So we really tried to maximize what we have in the space. We couldn't make it any bigger because the building's existing, but the pool is on the first floor. And there's two basins. So we have one lap pool that's 25 yards, four lanes. And then we have a second pool that's 32 by 33 feet. And that will can be used for swimming lessons for younger children or for water therapy, things like that.
And now that when did the funding finally complete for that? Because that was the last piece and it's not yet open, of course.
So we still need funding for operations. The funding for the construction of it is completed. And that really got completed in January of this year. And then we got the bids back in November. And the funding was completed in January, and we started construction in April.
And when do you expect it will be open?
So construction is scheduled to be completed in June. And as far as an opening date, we hope we can open it in the summer, but it's totally dependent on having the money to operate it. So we're fundraising for that now.
What are some of the other, I mean, the place is a virtual you know, athletic center almost. What are some of the rooms and offerings at the community center?
So right now there's a child daycare center in the building that's run by Project Most. There's a town clerk's office, a town annex where residents can go to get parking permits, things like that. There's Body Tech Gym, and there's it's the Senior Nutrition Center, which is very popular with the seniors.
Are there any exercise rooms or game rooms or anything?
So Body Tech Gym has exercise equipment, weights. They're membership based. You can become a member and use the gym facilities. And then there's also a large gymnasium that is open and run by the town of East Hampton's Recreation Department. And that is very popular for basketball, pickleball. I think the school uses it for volleyball, and then, you know, open gym. And so on the side of the building that is under construction now, we'll have the aquatic center on the first floor. And that's going to be run by Imagine Swimming. And then on the second floor, the Multi-Use Cultural Center, it has a large event space that can be divided into three separate areas or one big room. And so the capacity, if it's open as one big room, is about 252 people, which is large. I don't think there's any other space in Montauk where that many people can be in one room at the same time. And then there's also smaller conference rooms, meeting rooms. There's like lounge areas where you could gather, whether it's for a book club or something smaller, a pre or post theater show reception, or you could have music recitals in there. Really, the possibilities are endless. We just have to figure out what people want in Montauk and how we can provide it in that space.
Who's eligible to become a member of the place, or can anybody become one?
Anyone can become one. Anyone can use the facilities. I mean, they will be fee-based because we have to be able to operate it, but it's open to everyone.
And do you know what the fees are for what we've got now? I guess the gym is probably the only one workout.
I don't know what the fees are currently in the building. I know Body Tech has membership fees. I know there's a cost for the child daycare center, but I don't know what those costs are.
I thought I might tell you about, I was there when they had the Playhouse there and went to see many of the performances. They did things like The Boyfriend. These are Broadway shows. And but the seating area was quite large. 300 people could be seated. But during the times that they did that Playhouse, which was for 2 years, the seats were captain's chairs. They were folding chairs that opened up sideways. So it wasn't the most comfortable place, but you had bathrooms and stuff like that. And it was great because there was a tavern right between, and it's still there, between the railroad station and the facility on Blair Flamingo Road. Fisher was from Florida, and he named that road there Flamingo Road. And you probably don't know this, but at one time there was a zoo on Flamingo Road. It was private. Some man had a lot of property in there and ran a zoo. Montauk's really a kind of strangest, amazing place.
Thank you for telling me that, because I've always wondered why it's Edgemere Street and then it's Flamingo Street. It's the same road. And I always wondered why it was named Flamingo Street in Montauk.
Yeah, Flamingo Road is what it was called. Well, that was the reason. It was also at various times storage areas. My parents owned a big store in Montauk during that era. And while it was being renovated for the preparation to become the community center, I got a letter in the mail from Mr. Leike, who was doing the work there. And in it was a check that my mother had written to a clothing manufacturer company for clothes that were being for sale in the store. Apparently, he said they had all our records from the store. And that's among the things that were stored there. I said, I'm not, we're, thank you. I kept that check, but it was just a lot of nice connections to that place.
Yeah. That's the beauty of saving historic buildings, because people have memories associated with them, stories. There's a lot of people in Montauk that say they remember watching movies there, even though the roof was leaking and they were on the folding chairs that were not comfortable, but it was a place for people to gather. And we hope when this is finished that it will be a true community center and everyone gathers there and has, you know, resources and availability to do things that bring the community together. That's the point of the project.
Are you from Montauk? Are you a surfer?
I am not. I'm from the Midwest, but then I relocated to the East Coast because my husband is from the East Coast and we split our time between Connecticut and Montauk. But we love Montauk. I think a lot of reasons why people are drawn to Montauk is the natural beauty, the beaches, and the people. There's such a wide variety of people, and it's a very unique and special community, and we're glad that we're a part of it.
Yeah, it sure is. I guess there's probably 2,000 or 3,000 people in Montauk now.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's more people there than I think people realize. I know it gets slower this time of the year, but in the summer, it's a lot more than that. There's a lot of second homeowners that spend a good chunk of time there. It's not just 2 months in the summer anymore, or they come out on weekends. And I also think there was a boost in population right after COVID. The foundation had hired a consultant to do a feasibility study before we embarked on this project to make sure that what we were doing was still what the community needed and wanted. And they found that population-wise in Montauk, there were some younger families that had moved there. So there's was like a boom in like very young, under five. And then there's a lot of people that are over the age of 60. So we're kind of on both ends of those spectrums.
How did you get connected up with the Playhouse situation?
So we We bought our house in 17 and we wanted to be involved in something that was local to the community and volunteer our time and resources and give back to something. And Rob Lambert, who was helping us take care of our home, recommended the Playhouse. He said for a long time, they've been trying to raise money to build a pool. If you can believe it, there's no indoor public pool in Montauk. And I grew up having swim lessons. I was a lifeguard. I think water safety is very important on Long Island, especially on the eastern tip where there's water everywhere. And I also, when we looked into the project and we realized it was about the pool, but it was also about more than the pool, like having the availability or the opportunity to do cultural themes on that second floor. I also grew up playing the flute. And so I had access to music lessons and orchestra and band and places to go within driving distance from my home to do those activities. And I felt like it was really important for people in Montauk to have that same opportunity.
Yeah, that's very true. When I moved out there, I was a teenager when we moved out there, and there was no library. There was a bookmobile that came once a month. And there really were no cultural activities at all that I can recall. I was there only in the summer. I was going to college and so forth. So, and I've since stayed. And of course, as you have, it's one of the most beautiful spots that there is. One of the strange changes is foliage over the years. If you look at some of the photographs from way back when Teddy Roosevelt and his men were here, you can see miles in every direction. And it was pretty much that way when we moved here in the 50s. And from our house, which was on South Fairview Avenue, you could see the lighthouse. Now it's all treed up. I don't know, all of it, I don't know why it changed, because Teddy Roosevelt was, half a century before. You see pictures from the hurricane of 38. It's all, you can see forever. It seems to have filled in. And I think the weather pattern has changed as a result. It's not as like much of a salt-free sea air as it used to be. It still is, but not quite the way it was. And I think that's because the leaves of all these trees that have been planted and grown out there, and also in other areas. But the biggest change has been Montauk, just letting you know about that in terms of that kind of thing.
That's interesting. I mean, it's still pretty exposed. Kudos to the surfers that are out there in the winter braving the cold water and the wind. I mean, I love going down there and watching them.
At ditch,
by the lighthouse. Yeah.
I'm hoping that they'll find some way to really honor Teddy Roosevelt. They had originally called a county park there, Teddy Roosevelt Park, but it changed its name to Montauk Park, because the county felt it was confusing with some of the parks up the island where Teddy Roosevelt lived, in Oyster Bay and so forth. And you say, but I don't know. That's that. Anyway, thank you for being on the podcast the last 20 minutes. And I'll stop back. I'd love to know when you're going to be having your opening, and if you have some kind of an event there that everyone might want to know about, give me a call, because I can do other podcasts, or we can get something in the paper, in Dan's papers.
Definitely. I mean, it's so important to get the word out. So I really appreciate you reaching out and doing this, because a lot of people, I think, assume because it's being built that the fundraising is over or it doesn't need money. And that just isn't the case. You know, it's a community center for the community, but people have to support it so that we can make it all it can be and provide programming and events and activities. So it's important that people know that it's still ongoing and know what the current plans are, so we can plan and they can be excited for what's to come.
Thanks for being on. See you soon.
Thank you. Bye.